So we're going to have a reading now from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And Julie's going to come read it to us. Thank you.
The reading, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15, can be found in the Church Bible on page 970. Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Thank you. The Lord is adding his blessing to the reading of his word. We're going to be looking at what some call the Lord's Prayer. Yet it is a prayer that Jesus would not say himself because he didn't sin. Perhaps it should be called the Disciples' Prayer, or perhaps the Pattern Prayer, which is better, as I think it's a pattern that we can base prayer on. We're going to start off by looking at when, who, where, how, and what. It's just a construction, really, to help us to look at this. So let's look at when, first of all. In verses 5, 6, and 7, Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray. Jesus didn't say prayer is optional. It is essential for a strong relationship with God. Jesus knew that his followers then and now would need a steady prayer life to navigate life's challenges. As was highlighted before, Daniel was a regular man of prayer, and also irregular prayer, I imagine, too. Being thrown to the lions would do that. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The Bible doesn't give us a rule about when to pray or how long to pray. Instead, it simply says, pray throughout the day. It's easy to forget to pray. It's also easy to think we are too busy to pray. We can get around these excuses by setting aside a specific time to pray each day, perhaps combining this with a daily Bible study. Who? We pray to God the Father. We see this in the words of the prayer Jesus taught. He said, this is how you should pray, or pray like this. I'm now going to read the prayer in the New Living Translation, because we're so familiar with the NIV and other older translations too. And so this should come over in a more fresh way. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So Jesus spoke of our Father in heaven. Father implies a relationship. A good father is someone his children will want to come to, and so we should come to God our Father in prayer. The new birth to God's family is required for answer prayer. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 13, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." What should we ask from God so that the Father would be glorified? The goal of prayer is to glorify the Father through his Son. Jesus' ministry was dedicated to revealing the Father and glorifying him, and our lives should have the same goal. In Christ, we have the excellent privilege of praying in his name and receiving the things we need. The result is that the Father is glorified through the Son. Our Father in heaven. The prayer begins with our, us, the community of faith. Our prayer life should encompass the entire family of God. We can be guilty of selfish praying, me and only my needs first. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." So now we come to where. Where is God? He is in heaven, above everything and in charge of everything. He is on heaven's throne and is worthy of our faith and trust. He is an able God. Faithlessness should have no place in our prayer lives. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this: "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So we must have faith and trust in God. Jesus says in John 16, verse 23, that if they pray to the Father, he will give them what they ask for, if they ask in Jesus' name. Why? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? Praying in Jesus' name means praying with Jesus' authority and asking God the Father to act upon our prayers, because we come in the name of his Son. Praying in Jesus' name means the same thing as praying according to the will of God. Saying in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer is not a magic formula. If what we ask for or say in prayer is not for God's glory and according to his will, saying in Jesus' name becomes meaningless. Genuinely praying in Jesus' name and for his glory is what's important, not attaching certain words to the end of a prayer. It is not the words in the prayer that matter, but the purpose behind the prayer. Praying for things that are in agreement with God's will is the essence of praying in Jesus' name. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says this: "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know what he hears, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." So now we come to the how. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. How do we approach a holy God? His name should be kept holy, hallowed. This means that God is a holy God and must be approached with great respect and reverence. Also, we can only pray to God the Father through his Son. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. Now we come to what? May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What should be in our minds as we pray this? Two great things should be first in our minds as we approach God in prayer. First, your kingdom come. When we pray your kingdom come, we are praying for Christ's rule upon the earth. This coming kingdom points ahead to the time when Jesus will come back and rule and reign upon the earth in perfect glory, peace and righteousness. What a day that will be. To say your kingdom come means to give our first allegiance to God as King. Second, your will be done. We are saying that we place God's will above everything in our lives. It is the prayer prayed in the will of God that receives the answer of God. Prayer is not a device for asking God to do what we want. As it says in James chapter 4 verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. It must be offered in accordance with his will if it is to be effective. When offered in this way, God hears us. In 1 John chapter 3 verses 21 and 22 it says this, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. Our prayers should include requests for our physical needs. Verse 11 said, give us today the food we need. We make requests of God, not demands, as God knows everything and sees everything. He is a great God. He knows what we need. There is no sin or shame in asking God for our physical needs. He has promised to supply them all. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So God won't give us anything, but he will give us what is good for us. The Bible teaches us to be persistent in prayer. This is not to batter God into submission to get what we want. As we keep praying for something, God gives us the opportunity to change what we ask for. If our original wish is not answered, perhaps we should change what we are asking for. God can teach us while we wait. Paul the Apostle prayed three times concerning a physical problem he had, and the Lord didn't heal him. Instead of removing the difficulty, Paul is assured that God's undeserved kindness and strength are fully adequate to sustain him, noting that God's power is made perfect in Paul's weakness. The prophet Habakkuk initially prayed for justice, saying, how long, O Lord? But then changed it to, I will quietly wait, as he found confidence in God to bring justice at the right time. Prayer changes things, but sometimes it is us that have to change. Our prayers also should include requests for our spiritual needs. More spiritual needs are mentioned than physical ones. The reason? Our spiritual needs are greater by far than our physical needs. Notice some spiritual needs that we need to pray about. In verse 12, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Many translations use the word debts instead of sins. But just hold on to that thought for a moment. The forgiveness we're taught to pray for here implies something mutual. It suggests that being forgiven and forgiving others are closely tied together in our own spiritual lives. If we are hard-hearted in not forgiving other people, we probably do not understand the nature of God's forgiveness to us and how much Jesus had to go through to pay our debt. Because God made Jesus, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin on the cross, so that we could be made right with God. So we are very much indebted to Jesus. We all need to ask God for the forgiveness of our personal sins. There is no exception. We all need to forgive people. But who said it was easy? If you don't forgive, it can eat you up with bitterness and resentment. Don't be like that. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God, through Jesus, has forgiven you. First part of verse 13, don't let us yield or give into temptation. God doesn't want you to give into temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God will not allow the temptation to be more than what you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Sometimes the way to deal with temptation is to run away. Our prayer should be that God will direct our paths so that we may avoid the places of temptation. Second part of verse 13, rescue us from the evil one. Literally, again, this is a prayer for help in avoiding sin. This is a plea for God to change us, hedge us in, keep us and walk with us, that we might be sheltered from the power of the evil one. This is help to avoid the pitfalls of sin. Satan is our enemy and wants to spoil our relationship with God, just as he did at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Don't let him. We need to put on God's armour by praying to him and reading his word for our protection each day. So, to summarise and perhaps break it down a bit, when we pray, use a pattern prayer as a pattern for our own prayers. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. We start with worship and acknowledging God's holiness. It helps us focus on who God is and what he has done in our lives. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done. Surrender to God's plan, trusting in his perfect will. Give us today the food we need. Pray for a complete reliance on God for both physical and spiritual nourishment. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Pray an ongoing confession, keep short accounts, and seek forgiveness for sin. Having been forgiven, we extend unlimited forgiveness to others. To refuse to forgive is to refuse and deny how much it costs God to forgive us in the first place. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. The Greek word for temptation here meant trial or temptations from our own desires. God doesn't lead us into temptation. We go there of our own free will. Pray to recognise temptations that cross our paths and ask God to grant discernment to recognise them. Ask for the strength to resist them, to resist temptation and protection from the enemy. So we begin with worship. Acknowledge God's holiness. Surrender to God's perfect plan and will for our lives. Rely on God for nourishment, spiritual and physical. Confess our sins and seek forgiveness. Recognize temptations and ask for protection from the enemy. Prayer is precious to God. We should want a connection to him. He wants a connection to us. So the pattern for prayer could be like this. Our Father in heaven, May your name be kept holy, entitled to reverence and respect. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us give into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. May your kingdom come soon. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, Jesus says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Let's close with a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your name would be kept holy, entitled to reverence and respect, that your kingdom would come soon, and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for the food we have had and the food that we're going to have again. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And please don't let us give in to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Lord, we thank you for this time we've had together. We ask you, Lord, to bless us throughout this week. Help us, Lord, if we have the opportunity, to give an answer to those that seek you. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.